Good morning, everyone. So good to see you all in here in this beautiful sanctuary. Make sure that you plan to be there next Sunday. We're going to have a feast. And some of you have not had a chance to taste how wonderful this Thanksgiving meal is at our church, including barbecued salmon, Alaskan salmon, that is. And I recommend you to bring your families, your friend, and enjoy the meal together. And I pray that your Thanksgiving will be filled with joy and laughter and happiness as you gather together with your loved ones. And also, at the same time, I'd like us to hear the messages of thanksgiving that has given to us by God this morning. One Sunday, Annie's pastor challenges his congregation to be aware of opportunities to testify for Jesus. Now, Annie was certainly known for her faith and her boldness in talking about the Lord. She was known to stand on her front porch and, for the benefit of her atheist neighbor, shout, "Praise the Lord," resulting in her godless neighbor's response, "There ain't no God." Hard times set in. And Annie stood on a porch and prayed, "Praise the Lord, I believe in your provision to send me some groceries." The next morning, she found a large bag of groceries on her porch, which caused her to shout, "Praise the Lord." On cue, her atheist neighbor jumped out from behind a bush and cried, "Hey, don't give God the credit. I bought those groceries. He didn't." Annie laughed, jumped up and down, clapped a hand, and shouted, "Praise the Lord. He not only sent me groceries, but he made the devil pay for them." Who deserves the credit is a common question people ask. Recognizing someone for his dedication, memorable achievement, and contribution to the greater good is a proper thing to do. People who know my family say that my going into ministry had so much to do with my mother's lifelong prayer with dedication, with which I agree. Of course, my father played a huge role in my growing up. He always looked after my well-being. He was being very patient with my immaturity and supported me all along. Did I recognize their sacrifices and love for me and thank them? I did, but not good enough before their passing. Who and what do we give credit for the good life we have? We can name many people who influence us positively and many edifying factors that contributed to it. But God deserves the biggest credit. Giving credit to God is often expressed by praises and thanksgivings, as we can see from what the Samaritan leper did after he was healed. The story of Jesus healing 10 lepers highlights the significance of acknowledging God and how believers sometimes overlook this naturally occurring act. Let us dig into this biblical event and look at it closely. Verse 11 says, "Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, and traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. This verse suggests that Jesus was en route to Jerusalem from Galilee. Galilee is in the northern part of Israel, Samaria is in the middle, and Jerusalem is in Judea in the south. Galilee and Judah were Jewish districts. Samaria was populated with half or less Jews. Samaritans did not keep the purity of their race by intermarriages. This practice of intermarriages goes back, way back in history. Samaria was the capital of the northern kingdom of Israel. Samaritans intermarried with foreign settlers after the northern kingdom fell to the Assyrians in 722 BC. Also, exiling the natives was a common tactic of ancient empires such as the Assyrians and Babylonians. To erase racial identities in order to expand their territories and subjugate people in their colonies. The 10 tribes in the northern kingdom of Israel got lost this way, and probably intermarriages after their exile was the contributing factors to that. The book of Ezra, chapter 4, describes the remaining two tribes, that was Judah and Benjamin, did not want to mingle with Samaritans a couple of hundred of years later. The descendant of Judah and Benjamin returned from Babylonian exile and rebuilt the temple in Jerusalem. The Samaritans wanted to help them, but they rejected Samaritans. See what they said in Ezra 4:3. "You, Samaritans, have no part with us in building a temple to our God. We alone will build it for the Lord." Something similar was recorded in the book of Nehemiah. The high priest Eliashib married a daughter of Sanballat, the governor of the province of Samaria. To Nehemiah, Eliashib defiled the priesthood by marrying a non-Jewish woman. So Nehemiah drove Eliashib from Jerusalem. Sanballat was not a Jew, but a believer. According to the historian Josephus, Sanballat built a temple on Mount Gerizim in which his son-in-law, that is Eliashib, could serve as a priest. They say it was when the Jews and Samaritans split permanently. The hatreds between Samaritans and Jews were still visible during Jesus' time. Remember the reaction of the Samaritan woman at the well in John chapter 4? As Jesus asked her to drink, her response was, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" And right after that remark, the gospel records that Jews do not associate with Samaritans. The two groups, Jews and Samaritans, experienced racial and geological divisions as the result. Instead of taking shortcut through Samaria, that is in the middle, right? Galilee is on top, Samaria in the middle, and Judah and Jerusalem was in south. So for them to travel, for the Jews to travel, how did they do it? They did not want to go through the Samaria, right? So they took detour, a long detour. They took the route on the west, that is along the Mediterranean Sea, or the east, along with the Jordan River. That's what was going on. Remember the poem by Robert Frost, "The Road Not Taken"? A traveler stood at the fork in the road. After pondering on which road to take, he took the one less traveled by, and that made all the difference. What do we see in the brief description of the route that Jesus took? He went to the border of Samaria and Judah. Jesus took the road no one would want to travel. Both Samaritans and Jews did not want to meet with each other and avoided the border between Samaria of Judah and Samaria and Galilee up north. And actually, Jesus took the border between the Samaria and Galilee. It was no man's land. Both Samaritans and Jews obeyed the laws of Moses, which dictated that people with leprosy must be isolated from their villages. So, you know, there's nobody want to go there. That's why these lepers who are isolated from their homes, from their villages, live in that border. Jesus, of course, had a perfect knowledge of the laws of Moses. And we can assume that Jesus expected to meet the lepers in that isolated land and heal them. An interesting aspect of Jesus' healing was Jesus did not say to the lepers, "You are healed." He instead said, "Go, show yourself to the priest." Priests were the ones who diagnosed leprosy and isolated the lepers from their homes. Leprosy was a terrible disease, but having to live in separation from their loved ones was even worse. When people get sick with physical ailment, they get to stay with their loved ones for care and support. However, leprosy ruins not only the body, but cut ties with their loved ones. Showing themselves to the priests means that they were healed and could go back to their loved ones. The 10 lepers here received two kinds of healings. One was the physical healing of the physical disease, and the other one was the healing of their broken relationship. What a healing. What a transformation that Jesus brought to them. However, there was a problem. The 9 did not bother to return to Jesus to thank him. With their own eyes, they saw the restoration of their skin, their monstrous faces returned to normal. They no longer had to hide from people. What was their reaction to this new life? The gospel says nothing. Nothing. How can anyone, not to mention Jesus, understand their ungrateful attitude? How can anyone who is given a second chance not do anything to the one who gave that chance? The 9 lepers being ungrateful for a new life is just incomprehensible. On the other hand, the Samaritan leper thanking Jesus was not an extraordinary act. He merely recognized the evident healing from Jesus. In spiritual terms, we can identify ourselves with 10 lepers. We once suffered from a deadly sin, just like leprosy. There was no cure for our sins, which isolated us from one another and from God. But Jesus came and healed Sin sick souls and reconciled us back to God and to each other. We know our spiritual condition before and after we had found faith in Jesus. We once were blind, but now we see so clearly. We cannot help but give thanks to the Lord. But that's not what happened to the 9 lepers. Helen Keller was a famous author and speaker. She lost her eyesight and hearing after suffering from an ailment when she was 19 months old. She wrote the following. Use your eyes as if tomorrow you would be stricken blind. If I had 3 days to see, this is what I would want to see. On the first day, I would want to see the people whose kindness and companionship have made my life worth living. I would call in my friends and look for a long time into their faces. I would also look into the faces of a new baby. I would like to see the many books which have been read to me. The next day, I would get up early to see the dawn. I would visit the museum to learn of man's upward progress in the making of things. I would go to an art museum to probe the human souls by studying paintings and sculpture. The third morning, I would again greet the dawn, eager to discover new beauties in nature. I would spend this last day in the hunts of persons where they work. I would stand at a busy street corner trying to understand something of the daily lives of persons by looking into their faces and reading what is written there. On the last evening, I would go to a theater and see a hilariously funny play so as to appreciate the overtone of humor in the human spirit. She just wished she couldn't see all those things. Helen Keller did not have the capability of physical sight, but by her faith, she could see the things of God so clearly. As I was listening to the children's story, I was thinking, you know, if I was in the Jesus position, you know what I would have done to the 9 lepers? You go back to the border, to the pre-existing condition. You deserve that, right? As the wife went back to the old hut. That would be the fair treatment. But Jesus didn't. As Helen Keller saw the things of God so clearly, by faith, we too can see things of God clearly, which we couldn't see before. Everywhere we look, we surely see God's grace, healing, goodness, provision, guiding hands, blessings, and salvation. The list goes on and on and on. God deserves credit for every good thing in our life. Thanksgiving and praises are due to God. Amen.